Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. That's Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
I want to thank you for the opportunity to be with you today and speak. If you will, open your Bible to Philippians chapter 2, if you haven't already. In life, we might have any number of what we might call role models. Sometimes we look up people who are sports athletes. Sometimes we look up to our parents or our grandparents, or maybe we have a brother or a sister or a cousin that we've looked up to. We have a lot of role models in life. But God doesn't call us necessarily to follow the examples of men. He does give us some to follow that are good. But ultimately, he calls us to follow the example of his Son. In all that we do, he calls us to be like Jesus. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2, Paul encouraged the Philippians to fulfill his joy by being like-minded, by having one mind and having the same love of one accord and of one mind. In verse 5, he tells them what that mind is. It's not the mind of some superstar. It's not the mind of their parents. It's the mind of Jesus. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. God calls us to think like Jesus, to be like him. Jesus' thinking, when we look at it closely, was a mindset and an attitude of humility. He was an individual who was God, God in the flesh, who came from the right hand of God, left the glory of heaven, and became a man. And yet the attitude, the mindset that describes him best, is a mindset of humility. Beginning in verse 6, Paul talks about what Jesus did, how he acted, how he lived as a man. His attitude, his mindset, was a mindset of humility, but that humility went far beyond just thinking lowly of himself. The humility that he displayed was the humility of sacrifice. In verse 6, Paul says, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. When Paul says that Jesus was in the form of God, what he means is that Jesus was God. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, the Apostle John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God.
the Word was God. Jesus was the Word. In verse 14 of John chapter 1, John said, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father." That was Jesus. Jesus was with God in the beginning. Jesus was God. But Jesus became flesh. He became a man. For the Philippians, their status as citizens was very important. They were very much like us as Americans. We value our citizenship. We value the liberties that we enjoy. They did too. They valued their status as citizens. And rank was very important to them. And here was Jesus. The one who was God. Who had been with God throughout all eternity. And He gave that up. To take on the form of a man. He gave up the form of God, verse 6. In verse 7, made Himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Here was God who became a servant. The term here for bondservant sometimes can mean slave. Jesus went from the highest position, the position of God, to that of a lowly servant, to that of a slave. We would consider it amazing, I suppose, if God simply came to earth and became man. We would consider it amazing if God just took on flesh and became a physical king. But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus didn't come to earth and become a physical king. Jesus came to earth and became a servant. Jesus gave up what He had in heaven. He set aside the form that He had with God. And set it aside to do God's will. You see, the mindset, the attitude that Jesus had was a mindset of humility. Humility that led to sacrifice. He gave up what He had. He gave up what He deserved. He became a servant. His humility as well involved Himself. That is, that Jesus chose the action that He did. He chose to leave heaven. He chose to become a servant. Notice, beginning in verse 6 again, Paul emphasizes Jesus' role. He says in verse 6, "Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God." Who was it that didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God? It was Jesus. It was Him that chose to give up that form. Then in verse 7, Paul's more explicit. He says, "But made Himself." Who was it that made Jesus of no reputation? It was Him. He made the choice, but made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. In verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself. You see, Jesus chose humility. He chose to give up what He deserved as God. He chose to become a man. He chose to humble Himself. And Paul continues in verse 8, he says, "He became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Jesus chose. He humbled Himself. He emptied Himself. He did that by becoming human. You see, in eternity, when Jesus was with God before the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, He wasn't flesh. He wasn't human. He was spirit. And God is spirit. and dwelt with God. But when he became a man, he took on flesh. He became like us.
Hebrews writer says he was tempted in all points as we are,
yet without sin. He became like us.
He wasn't that before, though. He wasn't human.
He emptied himself. He became obedient and humbled himself
by obeying God's word. By obeying God's will and being obedient to him.
And God's will, God's desire for Jesus wasn't just that he come to earth. It's that he died. And not just that he died, but that he died one of the most terrible deaths known to man.
That he died the death on the cross.
You see, Jesus humbled himself, and that'll involve him. That involves two choices. The choice to give up what he had in heaven to become a man.
Paul's point is that Jesus willingly became human and willingly died on the cross. John chapter 10 and verse 17 and verse 18. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus, you see, made the choice to lay down his life. His humility involved sacrifice.
It involved himself.
He chose to sacrifice himself. As well, his humility involved submission. Look at verse 7 again.
In verse 7 he said, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of man.
Verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man,
he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross.
Jesus set aside, as we noticed in verse 6, set aside the form of God that he had been in from eternity, and took on the form of a servant. A servant, of course, is one that is obedient to another. One that serves and does the will of another. Jesus humbled himself not to do his own will, but to do the will of the Father. Jesus gave up that form of God that he had and came in the form of a servant to do the will of God. Jesus submitted.
But not only did he submit to the will of God to come to be human, but he also submitted to the will of God
to die. Verse 8 again, he said he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus submitted to God's will. You remember what Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed that God would allow this cup, that is his death that was about to come, that God would allow that cup to pass from him. He said, yet not as I will, but as you will. Jesus apparently didn't want to die on the cross. Didn't want to have to endure the suffering and the pain and the shame that came with dying on the cross. But he was more interested in doing God's will, in submitting to God's will, than he was his own. Jesus' mindset, his attitude, was an attitude of humility. Humility that sacrificed himself to be submissive to God. And all that Paul says about Jesus' mind, and about the mind that he wants us to have, there's one thing that he leaves out. There's one thing that he doesn't specifically say, but that all of us know. He leaves out the purpose. He leaves out the reason that Jesus humbled himself. That he sacrificed himself, and that he submitted to God's will.
So we've got the fact that Jesus did that for us. That he humbled himself to God's will and he sacrificed himself because of us and because of our sin. That the reason that he gave himself upon the cross was for our forgiveness. God, you know, of course, desires to save us from our sin. He sent Jesus to seek and save that which is lost. And he wants all men to come to the knowledge of salvation through Jesus. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God sent Jesus to save us. So Jesus humbled himself. He set aside the form of God and came in the form of a bondservant, taking on our form, coming in the likeness of men, and died on the cross for us because of our sin. Jesus' thinking, his mindset, his attitude was humble in the sense that he thought about us. And thought about us to the extent that he sacrificed himself and submitted to God. God expects us to do the same. He expects us to think like Jesus. And wants us to think like Jesus. But what that means is that we think about others. And we think about God's will. Look again at Philippians chapter 2, but back up right before verse 5, where Paul says to have the mind of Jesus. In verse 3, he says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. That's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus, you see, when he submitted to God's will and sacrificed himself upon the cross, was thinking about us. He was thinking about our needs. He was thinking about our well-being. What God calls us to do is to sacrifice ourselves for one another. To think about the needs of one another and to humble ourselves before him and to submit to his will. Jesus' thinking was sacrificial. It was humble. It was submissive. And so should all. But there's a blessing attached to that. When we submit to God and humble ourselves before him and think of others better than ourselves, there's a blessing involved. You see, when Jesus humbled himself and obeyed God and did his will, God did something for him. Look at verse 9, if you will. In verse 9, Paul continues and he says, therefore, I had a teacher in school that always said, whenever you see the word therefore, you need to ask what it's there for. It involves a connection with what was said before. And so Paul has just talked about the humility of Jesus, that mindset that he had that he did God's will and thought about us more than himself. And so he says in verse 9, therefore, in other words, because of what Jesus did, God also, he says, has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God has now exalted Jesus. But the reason for that exaltation is that Jesus did God's will. Jesus humbled himself and obeyed God.
Exaltation, that is being exalted in God's perspective, always comes after humility.
That is, that God expects us to humble ourselves, and then He will exalt us. Jesus humbled Himself, and then God exalted Him. And God promises to do the same for us.
Look, if you will, at the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's begin in verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 5. Peter writes, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility." So notice, Peter's talking about humility again and submissiveness in the same context. And so he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So be humble, be submissive. But then notice verse 6. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." You see what Peter says? Peter says, humble yourself before God, and then God will exalt you. That's the exact same thing that happened with Jesus. Jesus humbled himself to God's will, and then God exalted him. God expects the same of us. God expects us to humble ourselves, and then He will exalt us. You understand the idea? God expects us to obey Him through Jesus, and then we have the hope of eternal life. We have the hope of spending eternity with God. God will exalt us in a sense to be with Him with eternity. But He expects us to obey Him first, to humble ourselves. Jesus did that. Jesus humbled Himself, and then God would exalt Him. In fact, Paul, if you go back to Philippians chapter 2, makes the point that it's God who will do the exalting. It's interesting, when we looked at the first part of this passage, it was Jesus that humbled Himself. It was Jesus that obeyed God. It was Jesus that made Himself of no reputation. But now when we come to verse 9 and we come to the exaltation, it's not Jesus exalting Himself, but it's God exalting. In verse 9, He says, "Therefore God also has highly exalted Him." God exalted Jesus. In the rest of verse 9, "And He has given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those of heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth." We make the choice to humble ourselves before God. We make the choice to obey God and to do His will, but we don't exalt ourselves. It's God that exalts us when we obey Him and when we humble Him. As far as Jesus was concerned, God's ultimate purpose in exalting Jesus was that all would come to Him and obey Him. Every name, every knee, every tongue, all those in heaven and on earth and under the earth would obey Jesus. There's a sense in which Jesus was exalted in a manner that we can't be. We're not going to be exalted so that all would obey us and so that all would bow before us. But God does promise that just like Jesus humbly obeyed Him, that if we do the same,
that if we submit to God's will, that He will exalt us as well. When we humbly submit to God and obey Him, God will exalt us. He gives us the promise of salvation. In chapter 2 and verse 12, He says, "Therefore, my beloved, you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Salvation from our sin. In chapter 2 and verse 15 and 16, He says, "That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of truth so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. And I have not run in vain or labored in vain." When Jesus returns, if we have been obedient, if we have humbled ourselves before God, we can be found, as Paul says, blameless and harmless. We can be innocent before God. But of course, none of us deserve that. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We all deserve the wages of sin, which is death. But by being obedient to Jesus, God will see us as innocent. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21, we will receive at the resurrection a body like the body of Jesus' glory. Think about that. What greater exaltation could God bestow upon us than salvation from our sins and hope of eternal life with Him? But our salvation, or what we might call our exaltation, is dependent upon our humility, our submission to God, our obedience to Him. And that involves how we think. And that involves how we treat others. So how do we think? Do we think about Jesus? Do we have an attitude and a mindset where we're more concerned about others than we are about ourselves? Are we more concerned about obeying God than we are doing our own will? Are we humble and obedient to God? If we are, we have the hope of salvation. We have the hope of the home of God. We have the hope of His blessing. But we must be humble. We must be obedient. This morning, how would you describe yourself? How would you describe how you think? Are you following Jesus' example? Or are you living in a different manner? Part of our humility, part of our thinking like Jesus, is being obedient to God in whatever it is that He wants us to do. What He wants us to do is to obey His Son and to do His will. That involves believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, repenting of our sins, confessing before others that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and then allowing ourselves to be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sins, and then living faithful to Him the remainder of our lives. If we're truly humble, if we truly desire to do God's will more than our own, we'll do that. We'll submit to God's will. Maybe you've done that, though, this morning, and you've become a Christian, but maybe you've not been as humble when it comes to others. Or maybe you've not been as obedient and submissive to God as you should have been. You have an opportunity this morning to make things right with God. Perhaps you would like our prayer if you could be more faithful.
one of the great blessings of being a Christian is that we have brothers and sisters who can pray for us and encourage us to do better and to help us be obedient to God. Maybe this morning you need that. Maybe this morning there's some sin in your life that you need to repent of. Won't you do that? Won't you humbly obey God and submit to Him and look forward to the hope of exaltation that He offers? Won't you obey Jesus and think like Him? This morning, if you need to become a Christian, won't you? You need to come back to Him. Won't you do that as well as you stand up here?